And turkey in my front yard. There really was. It's like an omen, you know.
Yeah, we don't do omen, right? Baptist omen.
A couple of services ago, I preached on God's grace, God's unmerited favor to help us in everyday lives. And then last week, I preached on God giving us a mountain too high to climb. That Monday, I heard about a Mennonite running over his son. And a couple days after that, Debbie said, "I think I saw a dead man in a body bag." And this couple who lives down the road from us sold their house. I mean, they keep it immaculate. I mean, the whole property is immaculate. And they sold their house. They were going to move to Florida and retire because it's getting too much for them. And he was out mowing the property, saw something wrong with his dock, got off the tractor to fix it, had a heart attack, fell in the water and drowned. The next day, I'm driving to work. It's dark and the light's on the kitchen. Now, I don't know about y'all, but them are two mountains that's pretty high to climb. I don't know if I could climb the mountains. But I know one thing, it's going to take God's grace to get through the mountains. This morning, Dave said he couldn't find anything on 9/11 in the Bible. And when I got saved, I started reading John through Revelation. Then I went to Matthew to Revelation. Then I went to Genesis to Revelation. Right. And I don't know if it was the second time I read Revelation or the third time I read Revelation, but I was reading Revelation 18, and it's talking about the fall of Babylon. Now, I got saved 5 years after 9/11/01, I got saved in 2006. So it was probably in 2007 that I read that and go, "This is New York City.
Well, yeah.
There's no ships in the middle of the desert." You know, I'm thinking of Babylon out in the middle of the desert. And read Revelation 18 and see if that don't match up with 9/11. I don't know why I said all that. Maybe it'll make the service longer. Did I tell you I don't have any glasses tonight? So it's probably going to take 2 or 3 hours for me to get through this 30-minute sermon. I didn't hear no amen then. So if you turn to Matthew 22, please. Is that right? I got it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I pray that you would bless this time, give the word you want me to speak. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to have free reign and free unction. Lord, I need your help. I need your help all the time, Lord. I need it now. And Satan, I rebuke you. I command your imps and demons to flee in out of darkness in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got a letter in the mail. I get letters in the mail all the time from the IRS. You see, before I got saved, I owed a lot of money to the IRS. And after I got saved, my boss helped me get some tax lawyers. And I met with them, and man, I tell you what, I went to this fancy building. I went to this fancy big room, had a long, long table in it, and there's 2 or 3 people in there, and they're talking to me about my taxes. I mean, I'm somebody now. And so they got a deal for me to start paying off my back taxes. And I was doing that. In fact, they got me a price that I had to pay every month. And I told my boss, I said, "You need to talk to them, because I was fixing to go to Japan." I said, "Would you go by and talk to them and tell them that we got to double this up? I want to get it paid." So I doubled it up and we started paying them. And then I quit my job to come up here. And I called the IRS. I was in touch with them all the time. And I told them, "Look, I'd love to pay you, but I don't make any money anymore." So they put it on the back burner. Well, I owed 2006 No, 2007. And 2006 just disappeared. And in about 8 months, 2007 would have just disappeared. But I called them. In Matthew 22, verse 15, it says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him," by the way, they entangled me in my talk. I called them. I'm entangled right now. "And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? It is lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" And Jesus perceived, excuse me, their wickedness, and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought it to him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." You know, I know a lot of people that try to get out of paying taxes every year. They try to do everything in the world to manipulate it where they don't owe taxes. Do you know only 5% of evangelicals pay tithes? Now, I don't know what an evangelical is, but only 40% of evangelicals say that there's more than one way to get to heaven. So I believe that they put Catholics and anybody that thinks there's a God in this evangelical crowd. I want to tell you that when I got saved, I started paying tithes. Nobody preached on tithes. I just started paying tithes. It's strange that you'll, as a usher at the chapel in the Glen, I would do, what do you call that? You know what I'm talking about, the offertory. I mean, not the offertory, but the offering. You know what I'm saying. And people would put a dollar in. You made $10 this week. I also saw that everybody took communion. And that just blew me away, because I got saved and I still didn't take communion. I remember in high school, I would go to my friend's church and all my friends would take communion, but me. And I'm so thankful I didn't. You know, I didn't take communion until after I got saved, and it was months after I got saved before I took communion. Where I'm getting at all this is, you know, we say we're Christians, but we don't act like Christians a lot. You know, I can be a jerk, and I can be a real good jerk, but I don't have to be a jerk. God's paid the price for me not to be a jerk. Amen. Do we render the things that are Caesar's unto Caesar? If we would do that, why don't we render things unto God that are God's? Well, we don't. Turn to Malachi 3. This is not about tithes. This message is not about tithes. But we're going to talk about tithes just for a second. Verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob have not consumed." I thank God that He changes not. I thank that He is the God of all mercies. Because if it wasn't for His mercy, none of us would be here. I thank God that He's full of grace, because if it wasn't for His grace, none of us would be here. And I thank Him that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He doesn't change. Because if He really gave us what we deserved, we'd all be in hell right now. And verse 8 says, Will a man rob God? yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Can I tell you something? You can turn on the TV or you can Google stuff and whatever you want to do, the internet, whatever, and you could see that there is millions upon billions of dollars given to every organization in the world.
Yep.
Every abominable thing that you could think of, there's millions and millions of dollars for it. Now, let's think about this. What if this nation was a Christian nation again? What if we started giving to God again? What if we really started loving God again? You know, Obama got up and said, this ain't a Christian nation, and not everybody got mad. But can I tell you something? Look at it through God's eyes. Is this nation a Christian nation? We're killing babies. We've killed 60 million babies. We're in schools, they're teaching abomination, and we're allowing it. And, you know, Lester Roloff said this, I've said this many times, Lester Roloff said education without regeneration is abomination. And we got so smart that we can't tell a boy from a girl anymore. Well, I don't know what it is. What is it? Well, it's a boy. She's a girl. It don't matter how they feel.
Right.
It's what God made them.
Right.
And so we've gotten away from God. We don't love God anymore. We don't know God anymore. Therefore, we're not rendering God things of God to God.
Amen.
We're more worried about what we pay old Uncle Sam and what we need to do for Uncle Sam than what we really need to do for God. What if God says, okay, April the 15th, if you don't give me everything you owe me, I'm going to come get you. Yeah, Uncle Sam does that. And we wrestle and we fret and we get nervous about April 15th. We go, oh, we don't have the money. We better file a what do they call that?
Extension.
Well, one day God's going to show up and there's not going to be an extension.
Amen.
I'll try to speed this up since I ain't got no eyes. Verse 14. No, go to 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You know, that reminds me of the Israelites as they got pulled out of Egypt, and all they did was gripe and complain. You notice none of them got to see the promised land. Only Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones. Because they griped and complained. You got me out of Egypt, but I don't like what you've done. Man, it's hot in the desert. La, 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 la. You know, we're the same way. We gripe and complain about everything. And now, we call the proud happy. Yea, that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that tempt God are even delivered. I get all these things on my phone from Fox News, and it talks about all the people from Hollywood and rappers and all these people, all these famous people, and they're all dying at a young age. They're all ODing. They're committing suicide. If all that money and all that fame is worth so much, why are people killing themselves? I don't understand that. You see, they're trying to fill that void that they'll never fill with the things of this world. The only way to fill that void, the only way to be made whole, is to have the Holy Spirit in here. That void was created in each and every one of us, so that when the Holy Spirit came in there, we were made whole. I love this. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now, there's another thing in Revelation where it talks about the book. There's a thing in Psalms 56:8 that says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" And in Revelation 20, let's turn there. It's going to talk about the book of life at the great white throne of judgment. Now, if you're saved, you're going to be at the great white throne of judgment, but you're going to be on the other side. See, that we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And the book of life and the books are going to be open for us before this happens. But I believe that all the books are going to be there. And it says in verse 11, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now, I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be books open. Now, it says in Psalm 56 that our tears are kept in a book. Our tears are kept in a bottle, and God writes it down. And it also says that every time that we're saved, and that every time that we thought about God, and every time we spoke about His name to people, that's going to be written down in books. Every time you witness to somebody, that's going to be written down in books. I love reading this because I got up, and when I was at the village, I got up and I did a Devo in the morning, did a chapel every week, and I did a Devo every night. Man, I got some stuff written down in my book. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every time I meet somebody and say, "Hi, my name is Tracy Moore. Would you read this?" I used to be a drug addict and a drunk. My cousin bought me a Bible. And 13 months after he gave me that Bible, I got saved and God took that alcohol and drugs away from me just like that. Every time I do that, there's a little angel somewhere writing down my name and what I said. Isn't that something? How about the times I didn't say that? How about the times that I had a chance to witness to somebody, but I didn't do it? Man. You see, we're supposed to render things of God unto God. He's given me a chance to... God, we have a treasure in these earthen vessels. Christ is supposed to be living through us. He's not supposed to be our genie or our magic wand. And we're supposed to do the things that He wants us to do. And that's what this book says, that we're supposed to be disciples, that we're supposed to follow Jesus. Where did Jesus go? Where did Jesus go? He went to the cross. He was obedient to the Father. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. Amen. Not what He wanted to do. "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." Do we say that to God? See, we're more worried about what the government wants us to do. I got to go get a license for this. I got to get a license for that. I got to get a license for this. Do you know there's no season on rabbits and squirrels back home? Did you know that? There's no season on bass back home. You can go bass fishing anytime you want to. Boy, I tell you, y'all got to... When I came up here, I heard that there was a bill in New York legislation that you had to have a license if you wanted the garden. Yeah, it didn't pass, but there was a bill for that. I'm going, you got to be kidding. You can't burn wood if it's more than 4 inches in diameter. No. You know, y'all got a license for everything. You know what? You can't regulate everything. You cannot regulate everything. If you was going to regulate everything, you know the law doesn't work. The law didn't work in the Bible. You know why? People can't keep the law. Chicago has one of the strictest gun regulations there is in this country. Do you know that it's the most deadliest place to live right now? Can I ask you a question? If it doesn't work, why do we keep trying to do it? Because you're stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? They keep doing the same thing over and over again. We try to put fear in people's lives because because reality doesn't work anymore. Common sense is gone. It doesn't take an educated, a college education to tell if this is a boy or a girl baby.
Amen.
It doesn't take a college education to understand that killing a baby is wrong. It doesn't take a college education to understand that the way we're going in this country, God's going to say enough's enough. It doesn't take a college education to do that. In fact, you probably do better without being in college. You know, when I was growing up, they say go in the military to give you discipline. And you got to go to college. Boy, I want to tell you something. I wouldn't send anybody in the military now. They've taken Jesus out of the military. They lay all transgender people in the military. We're doomed. We're relying on our technology and not God. And I wouldn't send anybody to college. You know, I was listening, Gene was talking about me listening to a preacher the other day, and he goes, I'm not sending any money to a college that allows dancing. And I'm thinking about that college nowadays. This was years ago, but I'm thinking about that college now. Do you know Baylor, TCU, SMU, all of those Christian colleges in Texas are just as bad as the secular colleges in Texas. There's parties every night on their campuses. They are no more Christian than the man in the moon. Did you know that Harvard was started to be a seminary?
Yeah.
And that Princeton started because there were so many liberals in Harvard. And they wanted to get back to the Word of God. Go there now. You see, we're not rendering the things of God unto God. I want you to go to Luke 6, please. Wow, that was cool. Right there. Glory to God.
Amen.
Preach it! You see, Pastor talked about this morning about loving God, and marriage was supposed to be a picture of our relationship with God.
Amen.
In verse 46 of Luke 6, it says, and why call you, this is Jesus talking, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What if Jesus was in charge of the government? And he says, okay, April the 15th, I'm coming to everybody's house, and I want what's due mine. Would you be ready to open him with open arms and just come in?
Amen.
I really don't think we are. You see, there's a lot of people that I know that I haven't told about Jesus. Mm-hmm. My Bible says, old man, nothing. Now, I really don't think that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to have debts. I believe that means that when we see somebody that we're supposed to say, hey, Are you saved? Because see, one day I'm going to give account of how I live my life, and this guy may go to hell because I didn't say, hey, I know Jesus, and this is what Jesus did to me. You see, I owe him. Because see, at the great white throne of judgment, he's going to come out and say, hey, I knew you. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? I'm burning in hell because you didn't tell me about Jesus. You see, I owe that man something. I owe my family something. But I owe God more. There's no person on this earth that died for me, that gave his life for me, that I might have life. We talk about the bad things that happen in our lives and the things that are bad. Running over a one-year-old boy on a tractor, I don't know if I could get over that. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
I couldn't think about my wife being gone. But live your life, your whole life with your husband, and all of a sudden your husband, after you've sold your house with a lot of money, and you're going to Florida to retire, so you don't have to work, you don't have to shovel snow, and all of a sudden you die of a heart attack and drown. And all those dreams are gone. Think about this. There's a Father in heaven who gave His Son for us that we might have life, that we might have fellowship with Him. Yet we're too busy to give Him a portion of our day. That we're too busy to tell somebody, hey, I got this great love. Now, do you know the Astros are third? They're in third place right now, unless they won today. And now they're in second place. Do you know that? We could tell everybody about our sports team. We could tell everybody about other things in our life. Yet we can't tell anybody about Jesus. You know, we owe Him that. We owe Him that. We owe Him our lives. So, I really don't think we're ready for the judgment seat. There's a song that says, will I sing hallelujah? Will I dance for Him? Or on my knees will I fall? Can I tell you something? I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be weeping and I'm going to be at His feet. Do you know the story of Martha and Mary? Martha comes up to Jesus and she's pointing in His face and Mary falls at His feet. You know, Martha didn't have seven demons. Mary did. There's a guy that went to Jesus in the night. His name was Nicodemus. And I think that story is unique in the Bible. Because all of them would say, if this drunk or this thief or this murderer would have come to Jesus in the night, and he said, you need to get saved. Everybody would have said, amen. Yeah, but Nicodemus came to him. You see, we all need to get saved.
Yeah.
There's none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah.
We all need Jesus. But I want to say that I know that if Jesus came tonight and said, Tracy, I want everything to do me, I'd be lacking. We all would be. And you know what? We all don't need to be that way. He's given us all power to do all the things that we're supposed to be doing. But we're not. You see, we're all born with this nature. It's called a sin nature. And we're all born with this, it's me, 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 me. And when we get saved, all that sin nature is supposed to be gone. You know, when I got saved, bam, I quit drinking, I quit drugging, I quit cussing, I did all those things. Bam! But you know what? I'm still a jerk. I was. I'm still a jerk. I pushed more people away from Jesus after I got saved. I hated their sin that they were doing. I didn't want to be around them. I wish I'd told them a little different. I wish I'd have went up to them and said, I love you, and so does God. And the way you're living is going to send you straight to hell. But I was a jerk. You know what? I'm still a jerk. In a lot of ways. Preach it! But guess what? We're all jerks sometimes.
Amen.
Did you know when I first got to work over there, I was telling everybody, hey, I got saved, blah, 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 blah. And last week I was going, yeah, come on, let's go to work. Let's get this done. You see, I'm more worried about the getting that house built than I am talking about building God's house. And we get caught up in this world and these worldly things. And we say, oh, I've got to go do this and I've got to do that. And we ain't worried about what God wants us to do. We get so caught up in the things that we have to do that we're not really doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, if we really love God with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, all our strength, all our spirit, whatever, if we really love Him more than anything in this world, what David say? There's nobody in heaven or nobody on earth more that I want more than thee. That's a man after God's own heart. Are we really that way? Are we really that way? We're Christians. We tithe. We go. We pray. We go to church. Are you rendering the things of God unto God every day? I've watched so many people act the act in church and not live the way outside of church. I saw that so much. And I heard somebody the other day, a couple months ago, say, you know what, I used to be a song leader at my dad's church. It's a Baptist church. He said, I saw so many hypocrites, I don't even go for that stuff anymore. Okay? I saw a lot of hypocrites too. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm not going to let a hypocrite stop me from going to heaven. I'm not going to let a hypocrite stop me from going to church. Do you know what? I didn't miss a church service after I left the village. Do you know what? If I had to come to this church, maybe I'd never met Debbie, and maybe I would have, if I'd have got fired from the village, I'd have got on a plane, I'd have called home and said, get me a plane ticket. And I'd have got on a plane and I'd have flew home and I would not have missed a church service. I'd have went to church. You know why? I want to hear from God. Man, pick up this word. Lord, where are you? What's going on? I need you. Amen. Tell me what to do. Yeah. Why? Because I'm saved. I don't go to church because somebody tells me I have to stay at a job. I go to church because I want to hear from God.
Yeah, amen.
I was riding in the back, coming to church this afternoon, and I'm thinking, Lord, I am so thankful that you give me messages. Yeah. And I want to tell you that I'm so sorry that I don't put more into it. That I take it too lightly sometimes. And I want to say, please forgive me. I'm not rendering, if I don't give it my all and I don't put everything into it, I'm not rendering to God and to God. I'm just getting up here and talking. And I want to tell you something. Nobody wants to hear me talk. People come here and they want to hear God. They want to hear from God. And what I got to say ain't worth nothing. But what God has to say is worth a lot. And we call Him Lord, Lord. But do we do the things that He tells us to do? And then, let's read the rest of this. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus is the rock. Peter's not the rock. St. Peter can't save me from hell. Jesus saved me from hell. And I want to tell you another little thing. We say that He's our Lord, but we don't do the things He tells us to do. We say that He's the Lord, but we've built stuff on so much sand. And when the house falls, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of the house is great. You know what? A house falls, we say, God, what are you doing? Why did you do this to me? And we blame God. And we didn't do what He tells us to do. Hey, guess what? When I was making all that money, I should have paid my taxes. I should have rendered unto Caesar the things that were written in Caesar. And guess what? We probably could have had a house by now. You know what? I didn't do it. You know why? Because I was in rebellion. I wasn't doing what God told me to do. I was saved. I was reading the Bible. Now, after I got saved, I started trying to make amends. But did I tell you I told them, let's go double from what they told me the price was? I could have quadrupled it and lived like a king. I can't get a house now because of all the government. Oh, God, why did you do this to me? God didn't do that to me. Tracy Moore did that to me. We do the same thing in all our everyday life. Why is this happening? Because you didn't build a foundation on a rock. You didn't do what God told you to do. You see, we still have that sin nature in our... And we still want to do what we want to do. And we're more worried about the world and what the world wants us to do or expects us to do than we are about what God wants us to do. We say we're Christians and we may tithe, we may put in offerings and we may do great things. But how's the rest of your life? You see, when I got saved, I thought, man, this is great. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. I get up every morning, I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church, I tithe. This is awesome. And then I quit my job and I ain't making any money. I'm doing what God wants me to do, but I ain't making any money. Why am I? And I got angry. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people angry with God. Do you know what? God didn't run over that little boy. The Bible says that children are given to us by God. I had a guy in the hallway. He was the only... I told you all this before. He was the only Canadian that was in my hallway that was almost right. And he left the program. And he called me up one day and he said, Mr. Tracy, I want you to pray for my nephew. They found him. He's like 2 or 3 years old. But they left the door open and he walked outside and fell in the pool and drowned. He didn't die right off. They found him in time. But he was in a coma. And make a long story short, he died. And that guy blamed God for that. Well, God didn't leave the door open. His mother did. So you're going to blame a loving God that sent his son to die on the cross for your sin because your sister left the door open and the baby walked outside and fell in the water and drowned. Sounds to me like you got some things that you need to clear up. You got some things backwards. You need to be mad at your sister for opening the door and not checking on that baby. My husband's dead. We had it made. And then God took him from me. He had a heart attack. If he had a heart attack on the ground, we could have been saved. We'd still be in Florida going, we'd be fixing to go to Florida. But he had a heart attack fixing the dock. And he fell in the water and drowned. God did that. God took that man from me. That woman could be saying, no. He sold the property. It wasn't his anymore. What are you doing fixing somebody else's dock? You see, there's things in our lives that we blame other people for. There's things in our lives that we blame God for. But are we really doing what God wants us to do? And I can tell you verbatim that we are not doing what God wants us to do. 100% of the time. Because a lot of the time we're doing what we want. 100 years from now, it really don't matter how many of those houses over at where I'm working are built. 100 years from now, it really doesn't matter how well they're going to be built. Now, you're supposed to do everything unto the Lord. You're supposed to build them right. You're supposed to do all that stuff. But it really doesn't matter 100 years from now. Because the people bottom are going to be dead. The houses are going to be ruined in 100 years from now. But 100 years from now, are we supposed to tell people about Jesus? Are we, doesn't the scripture say that we're supposed to bring our sheaves with us? Doesn't the scripture say that we're supposed to do what God tells us to do when we get saved?
Amen.
Instead of us telling God what He needs to do? Well then, if that's true, then none of us are living right. None of us are rendering the things of God unto God. The author and finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ, not Uncle Sam. I don't know if y'all paid any attention to Brett Kavanaugh's thing, but what a joke Congress is. And I'm not just talking about the Democrats, I'm talking about the Republicans.
Amen.
The whole thing is a joke.
Amen.
Now then, we're glued to the phone to see what's going to happen next. Why ain't we glued to the Bible? Why ain't we holding on to God's hand saying, you know what, we're in the last days. I told my brother, I said, the other day, I talked to him in about 2 weeks, and I said, Lynn, you need to get saved. I said, do you know what needs to happen before Jesus comes again? And he said, what? And I said, nothing. You know, Jesus will come 30 minutes from now. Are we going to be ready for that? I got a lot of unsaved loved ones and friends. And the Bible says that everybody's talking about, oh, come now, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The Bible says that the day of the Lord is dark. It's not happy. You see, every unsaved person that we know or don't even know is going to be thrown in hell that day. I know when I stand before God, there's going to be a lot of things I'm going to be ashamed of. Not witnessing somebody. Not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. More worried about what the world is doing and what the world thinks than what God knows. I don't think any of us is going to be ready for that. And I know one thing. I don't see anybody jumping up and singing hallelujah when they stand before Jesus. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and that was written to the church. That was not written to the heathen. Although the heathen are going to do that. But it was written to the church. Because Paul's out there and he's worried about getting people saved, and the church is worldly already back then. The church is worldly. And more worried about themselves than they are of God. So, man. Whew. I better put my glasses on. Y'all thought I was going to be quick. I think every day, one day that we stand before God, we're going to wish, like that song said this morning, I wish I'd have done more.
Yeah.
You know what? We're all jerks. But we all don't have to be jerks. We all want what we want.
Yeah.
And what we should be doing is figuring out what God wants and then do what God wants us to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you so much for salvation. And Lord, I thank you so much for this church. And I thank you for a place to come and worship, to tithe, to sing praises unto you. But Lord, when we leave this church, are we really thinking about what we should do for you? Or does our mind and our thoughts and our actions turn to what this world has got for us? And what we should be doing for Uncle Sam or somebody else other than what we should be doing to you? I just pray, Lord, that we would be more mindful that one day it's going to be April 15th for us. That one day we're going to stand before you and we're going to have to give an account. And Lord, I want you to say, come in, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want you to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. But I pray, Lord, that we could do the right things. We could say the right things to the right people. And that we could think about how we live our life. And that we let you live through us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is a name I love to hear. There is a name I love.